I'm LaVon.
I'm Miss Nene.
We're so happy you've joined us today. We're smiling because you joined us. So let's have some fun making family memories in the kitchen.
Oh, I think one of the most wonderful baked products to bake with your child is a brownie.
Brownies?
I know.
Oh, now, there are a few people who don't like chocolate, mm-hmm. but very few. So when you say mm-hmm. brownies, the first thing I think of is chocolate, although there's blonde brownies. I still think of chocolate when I think of brownies.
I do, too. And the basic, I guess my first brownie recipe that I ever baked as a young girl was on the back of the baker's chocolate bar. And it was a one-bowl brownie recipe. It was a great recipe. Only made an 8x8-inch pan, though. That was the bummer of it.
There just wasn't enough, was there?
I know it. But the neat thing about making brownies is most often you don't need an electric mixer. You can just mix them up by hand. Oftentimes it is one bowl that is only required in order to stir all these ingredients together. Perhaps you're going to stir the sugar with eggs and then add in the some fat and some powdered dry mixture and mix it up and add the chocolate. We can't forget that. And put it into the pan and away we go.
So there's a good opportunity for those little beginner bakers who could do some stirring and learning about all those things that go in and mm-hmm. helping to stir it together.
And even the measuring, too, to measure those ingredients that are required in it. Now, if the recipe requires melting chocolate, then that might be something that you want to do as a parent, depending on the age of the child. But it's never really that hard of a practice to do to put it in the microwave and melt it that
And
way.
You know, Miss Nene, we often just talk about children in general, and I know you've talked about your granddaughter who started baking and so on when she was 3, but we do need to remember that there are teenagers also who could take a lot more responsibility. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about what children could do, well, again, you have to kind of look at your own child and think about the age and make that decision.
Yes.
Grandma or aunt or mom or dad, whoever is helping that child, needs to just take that kind of decision-making in hand.
Plus, you may have a child who is more machine-oriented and likes more hands-on than another child, and that's perhaps where using a microwave gives them an experience with something rather than just stirring in that whole process. I really do like to use a microwave when I melt chocolate, and I oftentimes melt chocolate and butter together, and I chop up the chocolate. The butter is at room temperature. I put it in a microwave-safe bowl and then put it in the microwave for 45 seconds. I stir it and then put it in for another 40 seconds and then just let it continue to melt on its own. And very, very shortly after that, the chocolate and butter are melted together and ready to be put mm-hmm. into the rest of the ingredients.
And I guess one advantage, or we have to think about in the microwave, is that food still has heat in
yes.
it that's going to help continue to melt it. And so for your microwave and mm-hmm. for your chocolate and butter, you kind of have to learn how that works. Some are higher power than others and
that is
so
correct.
On. So it kind of depends, but you'll soon find that out. And as long as you don't go away and forget it, it's not going to burn the chocolate.
Correct. Correct.
That's a real advantage.
Yes. Yes. But if you put that chocolate in the microwave for too long of time at a shot, it will burn and there will be smoke come out of the microwave. And so
right.
it is a safety hazard that still you have to be aware of when using a microwave oven. And perhaps if you have not used a bowl that is microwave safe, there can be arcs and sparks and noises mm-hmm. occurring in that oven too yeah. that will make it very hazardous to use. There's a lot to consider when using a microwave oven, but along with melting and cooking in that microwave.
And I'll just mention that some one of these programs, we're going to talk more about microwave cooking and all those mm-hmm. ifs and ands and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get back to our brownies. What's in these brownies?
The brownie recipe that I want to share with our listeners, and remember, this will not be a recipe that I'm going to actually give to you on the air today. We encourage you to go to the KJAN website, kjan.com, click on Programs, click on LaVon and Miss Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVon and Miss Nene, and the recipe will be there. This recipe, or I got ahead of myself, Lavon. We also have to remember that there are listeners who do not have a computer. And so it's very easy to just send us a note or give a call to the radio station, and we'd be happy to send the recipe.
We'd love to do that.
Yes. Okay. Now, this recipe is for classic brownies. And I originally got the recipe out of the March and April 2004 Cook's Illustrated magazine. I was looking for a recipe that might be a middle-of-the-road brownie recipe that I knew would have good research done behind it as a good recipe to use to give to our listeners, and that it would also be easy to mix.
What do you mean by middle of the road?
Well, there, yes, good point, because there are brownies that are cakey, there are brownies that are chewy, there are brownies that are middle of the road. There are brownies that may have more of a soft texture. Some have a richer texture, a fudgier texture. It's all a personal preference of what kind of brownie you like. I happen to like a fudgy brownie. That's one of my favorites, but I'm not opposed to eating a brownie that has a cake-like texture either. Probably the very familiar recipe called Texas Sheet Cake is one of my absolute favorites, and I made that quite often when the girls were home because they enjoyed it too, and it made a large pan, a jelly roll-sized pan. So it was a great recipe to use. This particular recipe that I'm going to share with our listeners is called for classic brownies, and it takes a 9x13 pan rather than just a small 8x8 pan. The wonderful thing about it is that if you make it and don't eat it all at the initial sitting, it freezes very wonderfully. And that's probably my favorite way to eat this brownie. Oftentimes, after it's cool, I'll just put the whole pan in the freezer so that it freezes well. I'll take it out of the freezer and cut it up into bite-sized pieces and stick those pieces or small pieces, however it works for you, and stick it back into the freezer. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to have a treat.
So it doesn't mean that putting them in the freezer is going to keep you from eating them.
It doesn't me. Someone might.
Some people think that works. If you really like the brownies or whatever, that's probably not going to work. But as you say, it is a good way to keep them, and maybe, you know, you have company stop by or something, and it's handy to have them in the freezer. So
yes,
good to know that they really freeze well.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I like about this recipe, too, when working with children, is that even though it doesn't require an electrical appliance to mix it, it does require two different steps, because the dry ingredients, such as the flour, salt, and baking powder, are combined in a bowl in by itself and then whisked together or stirred together. And that's something that a child could do on their own, while you, as an adult, would be melting the chocolate or chopping the chocolate, depending on if you think the child is able to handle a knife. And again, this varies with the age of the child. But even making a recipe together and having something yummy turn out that you have created with the young people or person in your family is what's so fun and what helps establish these wonderful times to open up in conversation other than about cooking, too.
It is a great opportunity, and that relationship that's built of working together and coming out with something great, can't be beat.
I know so. It starts to establish a legacy, and that can be one of the most fun and rewarding parts of living in a family, is developing that legacy that you can pass on to a child who then reflects on that time together with you that was just special for them.
Now, we've talked about the brownies a lot. What about, do they require frosting? Should you frost them? What else can you put on them?
Oh, I don't usually frost my brownies other than Texas sheet cake. But what is so neat to do is if you have a stash of candy on hand, that might be the place to go look first for toppers. Heath bars. Chop up Heath bars and put on top. Chop up peppermint patties, or even chopping up cream de mint patties.
That would be wonderful
on top. If you like a salted caramel taste, let the brownies cool, or just almost so they're slightly warm. Then oftentimes recipes will call for using caramel ice cream topping and drizzle that on top. But you know what one of my favorite things is?
It's hard to tell with your creativity.
Okay. I enjoy using caramel apple dip. I melt that and swirl that on top and then top it with chopped toasted nuts, or even sprinkle it with cayenne pepper, just a very light sprinkling, or grind up some salt, some and kosher salt, and have that sweet sour taste. But I think that the caramel apple dip, to me, is a more of a homemade taste than what the ice cream topping is.
All right, lots of ideas for brownies. Kind of choose what you want to do, but you might like to try out this recipe.
And go to KJAN.com, click on Programs, click on Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVon and Miss Nene, and the recipe will be there. We are so happy that you tuned in to listen to us today. We've had a ball talking with you, and we hope that you remember that fond family memories are fun in the kitchen.